This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We've been talking to Mary DeMocker. The Parent's Guide to Climate Revolution is her latest book. And there's some wonderful ideas, just very simple, again and again, hundreds of ideas to help with our climate revolution and help with our planet. So welcome back, Mary. You just touched on palm oil, and whoa, that's huge. Was there anything else you wanted to add to that?
In terms of animals?
Finding palm oil in our environment, or, you know, where do we find it when we're going shopping or to a restaurant? Where is it hidden?
You know, it's often in coatings like creamy fillings of Oreos, or on our granola bars that have kind of a chocolate coating. It's in a lot of confections and pastries, because it's a very smooth oil that doesn't have trans fatty acids. So it's it's not saturated fats, and it's not as unhealthy as some other fats. And so it's becoming something that people are reaching for from a health perspective, but it doesn't. But it's not healthy for the planet. So we can look for it in our, you know, cereals, in our pastries. It's even in cosmetics. It's kind of everywhere. It's in about half of anything that's produced that's on our shelves, whether it's a cosmetic or a cleaner or snack foods that are packaged.
Mary, you have lots of wonderful ways to just basically avoid consumerism and really think about your purchasing power and your buying. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, I want to say as a caveat, I definitely advocate political expression over trying to buy a lot of green infrastructure for ourselves. But I try to reduce our own consumption through, you know, buying things used, but also through enjoying life in a simpler way with my family. So we're not very materialistic. We do a lot of games together. We do music together. We're out in nature together, hiking. And those aren't things that cost a lot for families, mm-hmm. and not things that need a lot of products. So that's, I think, just a focus on simpler living, and there are some resources in the book about that. One of the big ways is by having just a smaller home and simpler cars, smaller cars, you know, just thinking about what we're buying and what that impact is of that product on the planet as a whole.
Yes, and you have amazing quotes from so many famous people at the beginning of every chapter. It's just a joy to read your book. One of the things that you suggested in chapter 16 was bring Paris to you. So you're saying reading is a discount ticket to to everywhere. So just saving your money, because you can actually just open a book and go anywhere, anytime.
Yeah, I think that's important for us to remember that. I mean, our vacations now, I mean, I teach students, and sometimes they'll tell me they flew to Disneyland for the weekend,
yeah.
and or they're going to, you know, Cancun for spring break, and I think those are wonderful experiences and wonderful places to go, and I don't want to discount that or deny people's desire for fun experiences, but I do think that we need to kind of think about a little balance in terms of how we're choosing to spend our time together and what kind of money we're spending, what kind of stress that puts on the family, but also what kind of stress that puts on our environment. The climate is breaking down under the toxic load. Do we really want to fly for the weekend to Disneyland at a time where we need to be reducing the carbon in the atmosphere for
mm-hmm.
our children?
And did you lose any sleep after you'd done all the research for this book? Was it kind of difficult to think about how big this problem is?
Well, I'm laughing because I actually got more sleep. I mean, I did for years lie awake at night, and I would chew on this problem of how are we going to help the planet? Things are getting worse. It's heating up. You know, we'd hear year after year, and 2011 is hotter than 2010 and so on. And every year was hotter than the last. But as soon as I stopped trying to fix it on my own through my buying power or through hanging my laundry as the only means of trying to make a difference, I started to sleep better because I started to do things that felt like they were more effective on the larger scale. So changing the system, not just changing our light bulbs, getting together with other people, making community connections with other people who are concerned in other parts of the world, or right here in my own city in Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting people and working on the issues together, stopping local fossil fuel projects together, has really been a powerful action for me to take, and it has let me feel less alone.
Mm-hmm. How did this work change your idea of gift giving and teaching children how to give gifts?
You know, I definitely, from the start with my kids, advocated simple gifts. So we packaged them in cloth. So I just one day went to the store at the holidays, and I bought holiday fabric years ago. And people love getting gifts in this really beautiful holiday fabric. Some of it is kind of solstice-y, you know, with snow and silver bells and such, and others more Christmassy. And then we have presents for our friends who celebrate Hanukkah. And having those beautiful fabrics really brings our consciousness about what we're consuming and the waste that the holidays can often leave us with. At the end of several weeks of the holidays, we find our recycle bins or our garbage bins overflowing. And you don't have to do it that way. So having cloth wrapping is one way. But another way is to do handmade gifts and keep it simple, and to do coupons, for example, for a massage or for homemade cookies. I have one on my desk right now from my son that's for half an hour of making music together, which we don't get to do as much because he's busier now. He's 18.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to pull that coupon out probably this weekend.
And call him on it.
You sit down. We're doing some music together.
Wow. You have so many good ideas. I mean, the book is just full of ideas to shrink your carbon footprint. Is there any that you would like to share that I've missed? We've just got a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. Just let us know the power of this book and what you really would like to share.
Yeah, so just running down some ideas in my mind would be, think about who you're banking with. So when my daughter got her first debit card and checking account, she decided to go with the local community credit union because they support local businesses and local students, and they don't fund some of the pipelines that some of the big banks do that are, you know, really big, dirty energy projects like the Dakota Access Pipeline. So that's one. Mm-hmm. Another would be to support local candidates who are really fighting for clean water and soil and air and community control over all of those things. You can just make a fun sign with your kids and stick it on your front lawn or on your bike or on your car. And another is to really learn what your local fossil fuel fight is, because everybody has one now in North America, whether it's fracking that's trying to come to your community, or export pipeline, or coal mining, or oil trains coming through your town. So find your local fight And put in your thoughts about that fight, and try to push for renewable energy, which is growing at an incredible rate. It's so exciting what's happening worldwide, and we can join that.
Okay. Mary DeMocker, the author of The Parent's Guide to Climate Revolution, where do we find your book?
You can find my book at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and your local independent bookstore, or IndieBound online. And you can find all those websites on my website, which is marydemocker.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Mary, for being on the show today, and thank you for writing the book. It is a blessing.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here.
Okay. Thanks also to Alan Wishart, our producer, and all the radio stations across Canada who carry our program. Have a healthy, happy day.